So we are in our summer series, How We Grow, learning all about spiritual disciplines. And so we're using God's Word, we're using the book Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster, and looking at ancient Christian practices that unfortunately have been lost over the last 2,000 or so years, but things that have been practiced from the early days of the church that really we should be practicing today. And so we're looking at those and figuring out how do we continue to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ, how we continue to grow in our faith as we look at what God is calling us to be and who God is calling us to be in 2026. This morning, we're going to talk about fasting, which when I talk about lots of things, that's a thing that most people are not like, yay? Most people are like, I like eating. What do you mean fasting? But we're going to talk about fasting this morning, so I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, and as you're turning, will you join me in a word of prayer this morning? God, we're grateful this morning that we can gather together to hear your word. Grateful that we can come together as the body of Christ. Father, as I share this morning, may the words I say be words that come from you and not from me. And may our lives be changed and transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the truth of the Scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I do need to give this disclaimer. First, I am not a medical doctor. And so if you're concerned about anything medically as far as fasting is concerned, please talk to your doctor. Don't start, one of the things I've been saying this summer is for us to start implementing some of these spiritual disciplines. When it comes to fasting, talk to your doctor first, okay? There are certain medical conditions that you may have that fasting is not going to be a good thing for you. So please talk to your physician if you are thinking about fasting or curious about fasting. That is my disclaimer. It's recorded. You can't come back later and say, you never said I did, and we have a recording of it, so it's going to be on the sermon. And so at least wanted to give that disclaimer up front about fasting. But fasting is really kind of an interesting discipline, and I've got to be honest with you. As a kid, when I heard about fasting, I was like, huh? What do you mean don't eat? Like, I don't understand these words, so... I was like my kids are, and I had a super high metabolism, and I was about this big around as a kid, and so if I saw food, I ate food. Like, that's just kind of what I did. I was on the seafood diet. I would see food and eat it. I mean, so this whole thing about, like, fasting, I was like, no, why would I ever do that? But then you become an adult and you learn more about God's Word and start reading God's Word and understanding that actually fasting is a good thing. It's not a bad thing and it's not a punishment, but it really is an opportunity to grow in your faith with God. So I'm going to go back to what Webb just read, Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. So if you want to turn there, I think I said Matthew 4, didn't I? Sorry, Matthew chapter 6. At least had us in the right book and we were close to it. So, but I want to go back in there and look over that passage again. That's such a great passage on fasting. And so I think it's worth hearing it twice. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Okay, let's just stop there for a second. Have you ever known someone that is fasting, and I mean, they come in, and they look awful? I mean, they look, their clothes are all disheveled, their face is all sunken in, I mean, they're walking around, and they're moping, and I mean, you're like, are you okay? It's like, well, I'm fasting. That's what Jesus said not to do, is don't do that, don't be like those people, because all they're trying to do is get praise from everybody else. Let's continue reading through verse 16 there. It says, truly I say, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. One thing I want to point out is at the beginning of verse 16, it says, and when you fast. Not if you fast, and when you fast. And so fasting is actually an expectation for us as followers of Jesus Christ. We're expected to fast. But fasting is not meant to be a public spectacle. And so it's not meant to be this big to-do, this big thing that you go around and you tell everybody, well, I can't have lunch with you today because I'm fasting. You know, I can't go and do this because I'm fasting. I can't do this other thing because I'm fasting. I'm really tired today because I'm fasting. Did you know that I'm fasting? So I look like this because I'm fasting. That's why my face is all dirty and everything, but it says we are to do it in secret, not to try to look better than someone, not to look like we are somehow closer to God, but we're to do it in secret, knowing that our Father in heaven rewards his children for their faithfulness. So we're called to be faithful stewards, called to be faithful servants of God, and so we're called to be a people that are willing to do things not for praise, but so that we may grow closer to God. So that our relationship with Jesus Christ becomes stronger. And so many times I love the people that serve in our church, but they do it where no one else even knows that they are doing things. I mean, I find out we have a lot of people that serve in this church. You don't see their face up here. You don't see them up here. But they're doing things behind the scenes because they understand that it's important, and they understand that that is what they're called to do as a part of this body of Christ, is called to serve. They're called to reach out to those around them. And so many times we're called to do that, to be, serve God without trying to call attention to ourselves. Yes, I'm the pastor. This is my job, to stand up in front of people, and I still do believe I am serving God, so there are opportunities to serve God and be in front of people. But there's a lot of things, too, that I get to do that it's just between me and God. It's just things that I'm doing just so I can become a better follower of Christ, a better husband, a better father, a better pastor. Let's look at Acts chapter 13. Because we see that fasting was actually an important part of the early church. And so we look at Acts chapter 13, starting in verse 1. It says, now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. We also see fasting in Acts chapter 14, verse 23. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. See, fasting is for a purpose and intentional. The church fasted before sending out Barnabas and Saul. The church also fasted before elders were appointed in the churches that were planted, in the new churches, because they understood they couldn't just make a decision and decide, well, this is what we're doing. They needed to take some time to abstain from things that are keeping them from God, and to focus on God. And I love how we see those together, the prayer and fasting together. It's not just fasting, abstaining from food, but it's also spending time with God in prayer. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4. I would say probably one of the most referenced examples of fasting. One of the ones that most people, when they look at fasting in the Bible, at least in the New Testament, is probably the one that's talked about the most, is in Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 1. says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. So we hopefully notice a few things in this passage of Scripture. One, Jesus went to the wilderness to begin his earthly ministry. He thought it was important to spend time fasting, spend time in the wilderness praying, spending time before his earthly ministry began. So understand there's an important aspect of fasting when we are serving God. Something else that we see on verse 2, and this is based on conversations I've had with folks, I've had people ask, well, did Jesus not eat or drink? Well, we look at verse 2, it says that he was hungry. It doesn't say he was thirsty. So he abstained from food only. He was still drinking water. And so he was still drinking water. And so even though fully divine, fully human, the biological aspect of needing water, Jesus was abiding by that aspect. But he went without food for 40 days, which it's hard for me to go without food for one meal. So I still don't know how Jesus did that. Verse 4, we also see that we're spiritual beings and we're to be living by the Word of God. And says we're not to be living by the bread. The Satan was trying to offer Jesus bread because he knew he was hungry. I mean, Jesus was hungry. It said he was hungry. And what does Jesus respond? We're not to live by bread alone, but by the word, every word that comes from the mouth of God. Well, in 2026, we have that written down. We have every word that comes from the mouth of God written down here. We call it the Bible. And so this is what we are to live on, is God's word. This is what's supposed to be important to us, is God's word. And so every word that comes from the mouth of God, we have it right here with us. We even have these things in our pockets called phones. If this is too heavy to carry around every day, you've got a phone with an app and you've got the Bible there too. And so we have God's word with us. We see fasting occurred all over the Bible. Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 through 15. Then the disciples of John came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests mourn as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. So you've got the disciples are there with Jesus, and all the Pharisees are saying, well, why don't you fast? Because in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, it talked about fasting. Fasting was an important part of the life of the Jewish followers of God. And so they talked about fasting, so fasting is important. And Jesus said, why are they fasting when I am here with them? There's something that came to me as I was reading this passage, preparing for the sermon, that I guess I've never thought of before. Jesus says, why are they fasting if the bridegroom is with them when they have the Son of God in their midst? They're learning with Jesus, living with Jesus, being a part of Jesus, watching, observing. They don't need to fast. They're growing in their knowledge and faith of Christ because Jesus is right there in the room with them. How amazing would that be if Jesus walked in the room with us right now? I would just lay out on my face. I would be done. I wouldn't need to say anything because Jesus would be here. So they didn't need to fast because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God incarnate, came from heaven, came down to earth to be born of a virgin, and was there in the flesh with them. And so why did they need to spend time fasting to get closer to God when God was right there with them? But we also read of examples of fasting in the Old Testament. We see Isaiah chapter 58, starting in verse 3. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with the wicked fists. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose? A day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Joel chapter 2, starting in verse 12. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Esther chapter 4, verse 14. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf. And do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 5. Then Samuel said, gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. So they gathered at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day. And said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mizpah. So we see throughout God's word, fasting is not something new. It's something that God's people were called to. They were called to it in the Old Covenant. They were called to it in the New Covenant. So the question may be, why fast? Well, we fast to grow closer to God. We see in James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. We fast as an act of repentance to God. Daniel chapter 9, verses 3 through 5. when I turn my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy, and with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O God, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and rules. We fast in preparation for making a decision. We see that throughout the book of Acts, that before the early church made decisions, before they did anything, they spent time fasting and praying before they decided anything. We fast to refocus our lives on Christ. Acts chapter 9, verse 4 through 9. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who are traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. We fast to ask God for something. Ezra chapter 8, verses 21 through 23. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek from him a safe journey for ourselves, our children, and all our goods. For I was ashamed to ask the king for a band of soldiers and horsemen to protect us against the enemy on our way, since we had told the king, the hand of our God is for good in all who seek him, and the power of his wrath is against all who forsake him. So we fasted and implored our God for this, and he listened to our entreaty. See, one thing that's important about fasts, all fasts should be centered on God. They should be God-ordained, and they should be God-focused. So whatever fasting we're doing, it needs to be God that is the center of what we're doing. Now, I mentioned at the beginning that there may be a reason that you can't fast from food. And so you're like, okay, you've been talking about fasting from food. Like, that's a lot of what you're talking about. But there's other things that you can fast from and other types of fasts. So besides food, you can fast from news. So can I just say that if we stop watching the news, maybe some of us may be a little bit more positive people. That's all I'm saying. We can fast from social media. Social media is great when all we're doing is looking at our friends and families, but there can be a lot of junk on there too. We can fast from television, fast from movies, fast from radio. I know there's still some people that listen to radio. There's Sirius and there's CDs and other things that people are doing. Everything's all digital now, but really, fasting from anything that does not draw you closer to God. But something that's important is whatever it is that God says you need to be fasting from, we don't just fast and give up something to give it up. We fast and replace the time that we were spending with that thing with God. And so we take the thing that we are fasting from in the time that we spend doing that, and we replace that time with God. Because unless we're doing that, it's not God-ordained, it's not God-initiated, it's not God-focused. It's just something we're doing because we think it's fun. But we have to be willing to focus ourselves, our lives, our time on God. Will you pray with me? God, we are grateful this morning that we can gather together as the body of Christ, grateful for how you speak to us. So, Father God, whatever you're calling us to this morning, however you're calling us this morning to give up things that are keeping us from you, to give up things that are causing us damage in our relationship with you, damage in our relationship with others, whatever those things are, we ask that you reveal those to us right now. We ask that you show us right now what are the things that you are calling us to lay down at the cross of Jesus Christ. What are the things we're called to lay down and not take up that are distracting us from our relationship with Jesus Christ? The things that are keeping us from growing in faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ, the things that are keeping us from becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. So, Father God, right now I ask that you show us those things. Show us those things that we need to abandon. And Father God, may we not just abandon them, but may we replace them with time with you. Father God, increase our time of prayer. Increase our time of reading your word. Increase our time of fellowshipping and growing our relationship with brothers and sisters in Christ. Father God, help us to have a desire for you and you alone, that everything we do and say is drawing us closer and closer to you as we grow in our faith. So, Father, we're grateful for how you speak to us now. Father, change our lives. Let us say yes to you. Let it begin in this place. As we surrender our hearts and our lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen.